From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his 12th message in a series of studies entitled Life in the Spirit, an examination of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, in which the Apostle Paul sets forth the nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has explained, these various virtues divide themselves into three groups of three, the first of which, love, joy, peace, has to do with our relationship to God. The second group, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, involves the believer's relationship with others. The third group, faith, meekness, temperance, concerns the believer's relationship to himself. The last component of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. As he began this series, Dr. Cairns pointed out that the first in each of these groups governs the other two. As love influences joy and peace, as long-suffering directs goodness and gentleness, so faith governs meekness and temperance. In defining what the Bible means by temperance, Dr. Cairns has explained that a Christian is to be under the control of the Holy Spirit in all areas of life, abstaining from all things hurtful, and yielding to Him the control of all permissible activities and desires. Yet, as we'll see today, temperance does not imply sinless perfection. The Christian's battle with the flesh is a lifelong struggle, and final victory is won only when the believer enters heaven. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, Temperance, the Victory of the Spirit over the Flesh. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Gift of Strength, Peace to Bless. The text is Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. David had just heard the voice of the Lord in a thunderstorm, and had seen His power in the hurricane, whose path he had described. And now, in the cool calm after the storm, that overwhelming power by which heaven and earth are shaken is promised to be the strength of the chosen. He who wings the unerring bolt will give to His redeemed the wings of eagles. He who shakes the earth with His voice will terrify the enemies of His saints and give His children peace. Why are we weak when we have divine strength to flee to? Why are we troubled when the Lord's own peace is ours? Jesus, the mighty God, is our strength. Let us put Him on and go forth to our service. Jesus, our blessed Lord, is also our peace. Let us repose in Him this day and end our fears. What a blessing to have Him for our strength and peace, both now and forever. That same God who rides upon the storm in days of tempest will also rule the hurricane of our tribulation and send us before long days of peace. We shall have strength for storms and songs for fair weather. Let us begin to sing at once unto God our strength and our peace. Away, dark thoughts! Up, faith and hope!
Lord, redeemed me.
As you enjoy this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, we'd like to call your attention to a new publication. The Free Presbyterian Church has produced a devotional book entitled A Word in Season. Here is an ideal companion for your daily Bible reading and prayer. In a beautiful hardcover edition, A Word in Season contains 366 clear, concise Bible studies on the major themes of Scripture concerning what it means to be a Christian. Each day it brings you a text of Scripture with a short study to edify and encourage you. At the back of the book is a section, Begin and End the Day with Scripture, which sets out a schedule of daily Bible readings designed to take you through the entire Bible once and the Psalms and New Testament twice in 2 years. The title, A Word in Season, recognizes that we all face different situations and have different needs in our Christian walk. Whatever your season, youth or old age, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, blessing or bereavement, here are messages that will minister the truth of God's Word to your heart. Copies of A Word in Season are perfect for gift-giving at this time of year. The price is $20, which includes postage and handling. You may obtain a copy by emailing us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615.
Paul means by temperance is the opposite of the driving force behind the works of the flesh. What is behind the works of the flesh is self and self-indulgence. What is behind Paul's idea here is the very opposite. So the fruit of the Spirit is total abstinence from all things forbidden, no matter how the flesh craves them. Total abstinence from all things forbidden. And the avoidance of excess in satisfying permissible desires. In other words, what Paul is getting over here is that a Christian is not to be governed by his own desires, and he's not to be governed by his own impulses, but rather he's to be governed by the Holy Ghost. A great Scottish commentator said that the word means self-command, and it denotes the right attitude of mind, heart, and life in reference to those things in the world which naturally call forth our desires, whether it be pleasure, profit, power, or reputation. Thus, temperance, this last element in the fruit of the Spirit, means that we deny the right of the flesh to dominate us, and that we so regulate our lives that Christ and His kingdom and His glory are the determining factors in all that we purpose and all that we do. That's temperance. Denying the flesh the right to dominate us, and then regulating our lives so that Christ, His kingdom and glory, determine what we purpose and what we do. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now get the force of that. If you died in Christ, if you're united to Christ in His death and in His resurrection, if you live in Christ, then you cannot live with your affection set on the lower level. You must have your affection set on things above. You must have your heart fixed where Christ is, on the throne and in His glory. To that end, he says, verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says, mortify those, put them to death, because you are risen with Christ. As Paul put it to the Galatians in the next verse after our text, "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." That's temperance. So today I want us very briefly to sum all this up as we think of temperance, the victory of the Spirit over the flesh. Now let me make a very simple remark, but nonetheless, I think one that needs to be kept in mind. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. It is not sinless perfection. There are preachers who preach as if sinless perfection were the Holy Ghost's goal in our lives in this present day and age, before we ever go to be with the Lord. That sinless perfection is attainable. not only desirable, we would all agree it's desirable, but that sinless perfection is attainable. There are some who go even further, and they make the point that if you will simply make the right decision of faith, that you will be sanctified at that point in time. I have known people back in Northern Ireland who, giving their testimony, would say, I was saved on the 4th of November, 19 so-and-so, and I was sanctified on the 31st of July, a year or two later. Give the date of that. And that's the day when the root got burned out. That's the day when the old man died once and for all. That's the day when they were made entirely holy. That's the day when they became sinlessly perfect. I have heard that testimony, and I have seen the havoc that such a false theology wreaks. There's nothing new about it. One of B.B. Warfield's most famous and most enduring, most valuable works is on perfectionism, which is his answer to the heresy of Finneyism's notions of perfection, what's called the Oberlin Doctrine of Perfection. John Wesley, I think he came to see his folly too late, but John Wesley preached a version of perfection. I remember young people from Northern Ireland going to a college in Scotland, and the teacher put it to them like this. Asked them, could God keep you from sinning for a tenth of a second? I think so. Well then, could he do it for a second? I'm sure he could. Well, if he could do it for 1 second, could he do it for 1 minute? If he could do it for 1 minute, could he do it for 1 hour? What about a day? Well, if he can keep you from sinning for a day, what about a week? Well, why give up in a week? If he can keep you from sinning for a week, he can do it for a month and for a year and for the next year and for every year and for your lifetime. That's how they taught. And inveigled people in, all, of course, based on an utterly false premise and all based on a totally incompetent and inept, not to say unscriptural, view of what constitutes sin. Paul said, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And certainly, when the Holy Ghost speaks here of his fruit, he is not speaking of sinless perfection. That's very obvious from the text. Here is the final word in his description of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says it's self-control. It's self-restraint. But if these perfectionist people are right, what is there to restrain? There'd be no need for restraint. After all those old things, all those old desires are so dead, you can't feel them anymore. Another way the perfectionists over in Britain used to put it, and I have to refer to there because I haven't had enough experience of them here face to face. They would say that if you're still having to battle the flesh, you're not sanctified. Because if you're sanctified, you're dead. And they would say, now, you can stick a pin in a corpse, it'll not react. You can punch a corpse, it'll not react. You can curse a corpse, it'll not react. Because it's a corpse. And if you're dead, then you won't react. That's their view of perfection, of sanctification. Their complaint is not against us, and their battle is not against Reformed theology. It's against the Holy Ghost. He said that the fruit of the Spirit is self-restraint. Self-rule. It is fighting and subduing and overcoming the natural propensities of the flesh. Paul describes this very fully in Romans chapter 7. And without going into that in detail, I will make the broad assertion that his use of language, particularly his very careful attention to the tense of the verbs throughout that chapter, do not allow the idea that this is a description either of an unsaved man or of what is called today a carnal Christian. This is a description of himself. This is the great apostle, the man who loved the Lord and served the Lord with such eminent success, the man who walked in such glorious holiness. Yet he looks inside his flesh and he finds that within him, that old man, which is never reconstructed. Remember that. The old man remains the old man, with all its hatred of God, all its hatred of grace, all its hatred of Christ, and all its hatred of holiness. He looks in and finds the old man ready to take over if allowed. And he's talking about the conflict that brings. And then he cries, "Who shall deliver me?" There is deliverance. There is victory. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who can give us victory. But the fruit of the Spirit is not sinless perfection.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.